Thank you for listening to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Please support the show by subscribing to and leaving a 5-star rating for the show on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Podbean, SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, and any of your favorite podcast platforms. You can also support the show by going to our website, blackandgoldhockey.com, where there's always exciting articles by the BNG writing staff. While you're there, don't forget to click on the fanatics.com banner for a great sports fan shopping experience.
Are you done yet? We gotta start the show.
Bobby Orr, behind the net, the center, and Orr! Bobby Orr! Orr from the Boston Bruins!
30 seconds left in the period. The Bruins are shorthanded. Ray Bourque.
From the face-off circle to the right of Reggie Whitman, flying it down, and Whitmore blew it.
Did he ever?
Marshall to Bergeron on the drive, save, rebound is loose. Seven kicks are loose. Bergeron scores.
The Black and Gold Hockey Podcast is powered by BetOnline.ag and in partnership with the Black and Gold Production Sports Media Company. This is Season 6, Episode 262, and we kindly ask that you please subscribe to our weekly Bruins Hockey Talk on all worldwide audio podcast platforms and video content on our related Black and Gold Hockey Podcast YouTube channel. I'm your host, Mark Allred, and it's been a minute since this lovely lady right here has been with me. What's up, Heather?
Hello. Hi, missed you. You guys have been having some fun. I saw you and the boys doing your thing this weekend.
Kicked the girl out of the clubhouse and did the man time. I'm kidding.
You don't even invite me. It's a she women. What is it? The he man she woman haters club or whatever from the Little Rascals. That's what you guys are. Why can't I think of what it is? I don't know. But good. Glad to be back. So
yeah. How's everything? It's been a while.
All right. You know. Just living every day like everyone else. Get up. We've had some crazy win the last few days here. Glad that our internet and electricity are still working up down here in the valley. But how's yours? Good?
Same thing. That's the grind. Good stuff. Yep. Working a lot, obviously. But I was pumped to get out and play some pond hockey on Sunday. So I was real excited about that. And we got some pond hockey things coming up this weekend, so it's going to be exciting. And I just love this. I love the outdoor weather. I love skating outside. It's amazing. So,
well, I wish I knew you were going to be down there because I didn't see your post because we had
checked
gone to
Twitter.
I was at Eric's game, so it's like a dead zone. And if I knew that, I would have left him in dressed and just brought him down for a little bit because he loves skating on the pond. So we'll have to make a time to go, but you must have posted it like right after I had gone to leave to go to where were we? Andover at Phillips Andover. So, yeah, awesome times, but I'm ready. Let's do it. Finally, the band is back together.
Yeah, we do have a bunch of Bruin topics to go over, but I do want to talk about one thing, and it is a Boston Bruins alumni game before we talk about show sponsored but online. And that alumni game is going to be on Saturday, February 12th. 2022 from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. And that is at the Essex Sports Center. That's 15 Manning Road in Middleton, Massachusetts. And this is a game between the Essex County Correctional Officers Association and the Boston Bruins alumni. We're very cool. And all proceeds go to Cadence Crusaders, which is a organization in Amesbury. All started here. To spread awareness about pediatric cancer. So it's a fantastic organization. All three organizations are going to be in the building. This is a very kid-friendly festivity. So please bring your young ones. There's going to be lots of things to do, lots of prizes to give away, and it's just going to be amazing. So we're going to be there. I'm in contact with my friend Karen Beal. She's a corrections officer, along with her friend Alex something. I don't remember his name, that person's name. But we might be doing the video and audio and a bunch of stuff. So who knows? We're still in the talks about that, but please get involved and do your thing and watch these amazing people on the ice at a pretty decent place to play. I checked out the facility and it's really nice. So I'm sure you've been there.
I have. Sebastian nice. Skated there a little bit, but I remember, I used to work at the school that's right there. And I remember at first there wasn't going to be one. And our superintendent kept saying, oh, we'll make sure that there's some kind of sports thing down there, but it's a pretty nice facility. But anyways, Cadence Crusaders is awesome.
Yeah.
Great, great organization. Like Mark said, it's a family friendly event. I'm hoping I have to see how our schedule is, but I'm hoping that we can get down there. But come out, support. It'll be fun. The alumni versus the corrections officer. Matter of hockey pride. It's always fun to go to these charity hockey games anyways and see what's up. But yeah, absolutely. definitely come out.
All right, talk about betonline.ag. Betonline.ag would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline.ag remains your number one spot for all the best sports wagering action in 2022. A new year and a new updated desktop and mobile website, so sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code CLNS50 to get started. That's CLNS50. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. All right, Bruins fans, we just heard myself talk about the great show sponsor, BetOnline.ag. Please go to that website, sign up for a free account, and use the code CLNS50. We certainly appreciate it because it supports this podcast. And it's fun to do. And please bet responsibly. It's a big thing around here, betting responsibly. Even though I'm terrible at it, and I shouldn't do it, but I do it responsible.
But that's why, because you know you're bad at it, so you don't get
exactly. I budget myself. Once I run out of money for the week, no more betting.
Well, there's lots of,
and that usually happens on Monday.
There's a lot of action you can get in. I know my Buffalo Bills had a big win. Woo! So there's all the football games. There's lots of hockey because everybody's going to be playing every other day for the next 4 months or whatever, for the 2 week sort of pause or whatever's happening. We don't quite know all the details for that time frame, but responsibly though, like Mark said, BetOnline.ag. That's where you go to get all your sports. All right, ready?
Let's talk about some bees. We have an agenda full today, so let's rock and roll, Heather. Let's go.
All right, so we had four games this last week, starting Monday versus the Washington Capitals, which I don't know. I'll say it was a ass-whooping of the Washington Capitals. Like, very rarely the Bruins get to – like, usually that's like 4-3 in overtime, this and that. No, the Bruins solidly bitch-slapped the Capitals. Now, they weren't totally at full strength, I understand that, but it got – ugly kind of real fast. So at first Connor Sherry was like on fire and you're thinking, oh God, here we go. I mean, at least I was. I don't know if you were, Mark. But then Pastrnak scored on the power play from, obviously, Marchand always in on those kind of things. And Matt Grizzlick, power play goal from Brad Marchand, from Grizzlick and Pastrnak. People of fire, second period. Grizzlick scores from Bleed. Craig Smith on a beaut scores from Lazar and Anton Bleed, which I'm glad. Look at Anton Bleed. He is like doing his thing. Pastrnak scores again. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. We can talk about him a little bit. Taylor Hall from Miro Vakanainen. Eric Halla scores from Taylor Hall and Matt Grizzlick. And Brad Marchand, of course, has to get on the action. So he scores in the third from Craig Smith and Matt Grizzlick. Multiple point nights for several of the boys. We didn't have a lot of penalty minutes either, you know, so it was good. And I don't know, like, we made them look a little silly, I think. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that game?
What a game. I said it on the round table that we did on Friday night, that the Bruins Washington games are way different nowadays. And I was never a big fan of that matchup because Washington always kicked our ass. But these couple of seasons, at least two, seeing a big difference from this Boston Bruins team when they approach the Washington Capitals. And it's no more, you know, lay down and just and take it anymore. It's the Bruins are fighting back. And I really liked it. But the biggest thing that I really enjoyed about this was beating the Tampa Bay Lightning and then having a day off and then coming in and beating Washington like they did. So you basically beat up two really good teams. One obviously in the Metro, one in our own division. So that's huge to get. And it really started the week off on the right foot.
Yeah, started a really nice streak we had here. I also wanted to mention Linus Ullmark got the win. He stopped 27 out of 30 and with a 900 save percentage. He continues to look, as I think he should, pretty consistent in there. I mean, it is what it is, goaltending, but I think they've looked pretty good. Then we got to Wednesday, the 12th of January. And always, I don't know about everyone else. Like I said, how am I supposed to wait all day for a Montreal game? Why can't they play at like 8 a.m.? I'm up. I'm ready. I just want to watch this freaking game. And holy hell, it's always a good game when we play Montreal. I don't know. Some people keep like say Toronto's our new one. What we beat the crap out of the Habs 5-1, which I mean, even if we didn't outplay them, I mean, let's put it in perspective. Like you said, Tampa Bay and Washington, solid teams. Montreal, not a solid team, but it's always nice to pound on them. And also nice to get some hat tricks, right? Because that's what Brad Marchand wanted to do. Brad Marchand scores in the first from Nosek and Lazar. Brad Marchand scores again in the first from Craig Smith and Patrice Bergeron. Then Curtis Lazar ends up scoring from Jake DeBrusk and Grizzlick. How you doing, Jake DeBrusk? Glad to still have you around. Sorry. And then shorthanded, Marchand gets his little hat trick and hats everywhere for John Moore and Patrice Bergeron. I don't know what it was, a meme or something, but I remember since Brad Marchand scores hat tricks to get hats or something like that in there. Good game. I thought a little chippy where he got a little ugly in there, but I don't know. Beating the Habs always makes me happy. Mark, what do you say about that Wednesday?
Did you mention Lazar getting the third goal in the third period?
Oh, did I? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I might have forgot that. Sorry, Curtis Lazar. I'm not trying to leave you out from Jaro Vaakanainen and from Anton Bleed. That's right, because that was Jaro's goal, but they took it back, right? Is that the one? I think that might be the one that was originally credited to Jaro, and then they gave it to Lazar or whatever the official score. But what are your thoughts? Yeah, this was definitely a penalty game, but it was a very chippy game, as it is, and frustration is everywhere. Fuming from Montreal's like essence right now. So
yeah, another just a solid win and way to get out in front, not like the Washington game when they, you know, Connor Sherry puts up two to get Washington, you know, off and running, but that slowly came to a halt on that game. But on this particular game, they got off. I mean, it was the first period was three straight goals. That's the way you gotta roll. Is just, create a gap because, you know, even Tuukka Rask or Linus Ullmark, they're going to make mistakes and you want to have that cushion in front of you. And I think that this is what this Boston Bruins team does nowadays is kind of recognize that, you know, hey, we might not have it solid on the back end. Why don't we do what we can to create that gap if a mistake happens to happen? I'm liking what I'm seeing throughout this whole, you know, return from the break. And especially when you play these games against original six members and I continue to get up for the Montreal Boston game. So I don't care about the rivalry and which one it is anymore. It's always going to be Montreal Boston with me.
That's right. Montreal, just even thinking about, I'm in bad mood just thinking about them, but you're right about a lot of penalties. And Chris Weidman on Montreal ended up getting suspended a game for headbutting Eric Halla. Mm-hmm. Halla, if you hear me, Eric Halla. Just kidding. But yeah, definitely. It was Montreal got a couple unsportsmanlike conducts. Halla got in a fight. No offense, but he's not really the guy I think is getting into the fist. But how much is one dude supposed to take in one period? You know what I'm saying? It was a rough third for him. And he was all set with that, but we played back-to-back, and the next day on Thursday, we played the Philadelphia Flyers, and what time was it, Mark?
It was Tuukka time.
Tuukka Rask. Oh, who's this dude? Who's this young strapping Finnish goaltender coming in at?
Serving up this happy Tuukka time moment for all the haters out there. So just continue to suck it.
Suck it. Although I do want to comment, I did think, I understand everyone was excited, but I was a little annoyed on Wednesday when everyone was chanting Tuukka, because Linus Ullmark has been playing really well, and that's kind of disrespectful to him. And not like a big deal kind of disrespect, and no one trying to purposely, but come on, guy. Like, he's not even in net. Like, okay, just, it's one thing to be like Tuukka if he's out taking,
he was in the building and people were happy. So I love it and everything like that. Could you save it for another night? Yeah, you could.
Yeah, Thursday when he started versus Philly and got himself his first win. There you go. 3-2. The Bruins win. Pastrnak, of course, Brad Marchand got a hat trick, so Pastrnak has to get a hat trick too. So in the first, he scored two goals, one from Holla and Taylor Hall, and then he scored a power play goal from Marchand and Charlie McAvoy, and then he scored a third in the third. He got his third goal for his hat trick on a power play from Charlie McAvoy and Brad Marchand. Those three were, if you notice, like, you know, there's going to be three players that are just gelling that night in since they've been back from break, and I'm under no understanding that. I understand, like, the bubble will pop at times, you know, that's fine, but like, they really do look, not to reiterate, but they really do look like a totally different fucking hockey team since they came back from this break, in a good way, in the way that we knew they could be. And I'm happy to see that, right? Because now I don't want to just blow the farm up. Now I'm like, okay, maybe they are strong. Maybe they can do this. And Tuukka Rask, first game back, he, you know, looked like a dude that hadn't played a game from June. He just looked like Tuukka Rask, hasn't even been gone. Top 27 out of 25. And what can you do? Tuukka time. How happy were you to see Tuukka? I was like, oh my God, it's really happening, this Tuukka rest.
It was awesome. I was stoked to see how comfortable he was after 260 whatever days without playing a game. Very calm in the crease. And I said it on the round table last week, and I said it online. The two goals that he gave up weren't even his fault. Like, the first one was a tip out front, straight down. If that went through, he tracked that. He was gonna save that all day, every day. And the second goal, which kind of was like a weird bounce, but he was going left to right laterally, but the one move to the left was a little too far because something happened over on the other side and the puck got in. But I mean, you really can't fault him for that one either. But really calm, you know, I just thought that he really just tracked the puck really, really good for somebody that hasn't been around in a while. And I was completely amazed, but happier with the 2 points and the effort against a decent Philadelphia team that, you know, we continue to beat up on, you know. But yeah, it's just it's this train keeps rolling. It's an unbelievable freaking experience that we're seeing right now with the lineup that Bruce Cassidy has put together since the 2 week break and so on. It's just really paying dividends, and I love that he's sticking with it and consistent.
There were a lot of penalties in this game too, but we didn't get as many penalties, so that's the important thing. Also, Pastrnak apparently told Tuukka Rask before the game that he was going to score a hat trick, because that's what Pasta does. He's like, I'm going to get you a hat trick, Tuukka.
That's pretty funny.
And you get in a hat trick. I thought that was a funny anecdote. So yeah, so if you count the Tampa Bay game, that's four games in a row. So let's talk about, we played Nashville on Saturday. What was that date? The 15th. Oh yeah, that's right. That was the football game day. It was a matinee game, which always makes me nervous. I expected it to be, you know, we came out with like a burst of energy, but then it kind of settled into the exact kind of game I thought they would. Pretty physical game. Usually Nashville and Boston don't get like real, like, a little nasty at each other, but they definitely did. But the Bruins got the win 4-2-3. Craig Smith starts it off from Bergeron and Marchand in the first, then Mike Riley from Hall and Hall. And then in the third, Brad Marchand gets a power play goal from Charlie McAvoy and Patrice Bergeron, but Taylor Hall with a beauty in overtime. gets one from Pastrnak and Jarovaakanainen. Again, not a lot of penalties in this game, just like normal ones, except for Derek Forbort got in a fight. And I just thought that that was not expected. And right on you, sometimes you just steam out and you got to do it, get down to it. So that makes it five as we sit here right now, Mark, five wins in a row. What do you think about that Saturday Nash? I know you guys were live streaming. I did not
get to it. We did a live stream on this game. I thought it was kind of cool because Thomas Nystrom, he is the host and producer of the Short Shift podcast. He joined us, and he lived down in Tennessee for a good 10 years, I believe. So it was cool to talk to him about the area down there, how hockey is. So it really just latched on with the fans and everything like that. So. But it was cool to have him on. Also, Kevin O'Keefe joined me from the Beehive Hockey Podcast, and that was just a lot of fun. So we just sat there, had Thomas and I had beers and so on, and we just sat there and watched the game. And you know, the best part about it was the overtime when Taylor Hall just gets it, and you know, and it sucked because Thomas's stream was so far behind. So. It's kind of a bummer for him, but whatever. 2 points against a team that he's seen so many times, and just a great afternoon altogether. Sunday was a little hurting, but it was all good.
That happens when you have
afternoon games. Oh, they hurt so bad.
And the Providence Bruins played too. Was that, or that was Sunday night? I just remember thinking Mark is going to be tired Sunday night because he has been Bruins and AHL watching and. Pawn hockey,
and live comes at you fast, man.
Podcast recording.
I don't get these gray hairs for nothing.
Well, you know, you got to earn them. Who was in net? Allmark was in net, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, anyways, like I said, everyone calm down. Jeremy Swayman's fine in Providence. He's still Jeremy Swayman. Everything's fine. And so far, this tandem looks like it's a good tandem. I mean, what are we going to do? Argue against our. Like 14 year or whatever career goaltender that we've had here, but it's going to get interesting. I think it is. The Bruins are finally, I think they're finally looking like the Bruins, and that makes me feel so much better. We're in fourth. We've got 46 points. We're on a hot streak. We won 8 out of our last 10 games. Let's just keep it going. Hopefully starting tonight versus the Carolina Hurricanes. But before we talk about the Carolina Hurricanes, there are just, I would like to mention a couple things about this game. One, Brad Marchand needs a bubble on his face because his nose can't take much more. This week. It's twice he's been out there with the, like, whatever. But Brad Marchand's Brad Marchand. What was the other thing I was going to say about the, never mind. It must not have been that. About the Nashville game, whatever, moving on. That's where we are, but we're on fire. But did you have any particular people that stood out to you? Not even necessarily just studs and duds, but like, I would like to give my like stud to Euro. I think he's looked awesome this week, and he's unexpectedly playing really well with Charlie McAvoy, and that's partly why I would elevate him to that of the week. Do you have any people who kind of stood out? Anton Bleed, he's another guy, keeps chugging. Yeah. Consistent.
I mean, there's so many people that I could put on the list, so I really don't have a studs and duds. Let's just go Boston Bruins up and down the lineup. Well, all good.
We're going to talk about a trendsetter right now before we talk about the Carolina game. Also tonight on January 18, 2022 is 64 years after he plays his first NHL game. Willie O'Ree's number 22 is going to be raised to the rafters in a ceremony before tonight's game. There was a little video out. The boys have given him a nice little fedora and other little gifts in commemoration of this. Willie O'Ree, if you don't know who he is, I don't know how you're listening to this podcast, but clearly the first African-Canadian player to play the game, you know. But mostly he's just such a lover of the sport and has just pushed the boundaries and really knock down boundaries so that every kid can try and have access if they love hockey and you know, and just a good human being. And he's like 85 years young and still kicking it, maybe 86, and so much respect. And it's a great, great moment, I think. And I would argue that maybe everybody should do it, like honor him like that. But as for being a Bruin and I'm very proud to see his number go up. The city of Boston has done a lot. They've had like the pictures outside of the garden, but there was a picture that saw the make way for ducklings guys. Yep, they all had Willie O'Ree jerseys, awesome. Little things like that. So I just want to say in honor of Willie O'Ree night, which is official because the Boston mayor proclaimed it. So it's Willie O'Ree day in the city of Boston today. And with that, any thoughts on Willie?
No, it's just it's a really good moment for him and everybody involved. Like we've said so many times when we bring up Willie, just a tremendous advocate for everybody can play, no matter what color you are and so on. And an ambassador at that too. So lots of good things, you know, that can come from this, and just hopefully that this message continues out, because, you know, there are some really good hockey players out there that come from color and in different parts of the world, and they deserve their chance to play as well, just like everybody else. So it's a real proud moment for a Bruins fan, you know, a New England native and so on for myself. And like I said, hopefully the message continues to spread because it is important.
Yes, definitely.
And it's done, and it's going to be done virtually because due to the COVID situations or pandemic, whatever you want to call it, and Willie's age, it's kind of risky. So it's going to be done virtually. And that's unfortunate because these types of moments really do need to be done in-house. I really wanted to see Willie come out on the ice and hear that garden crowd.
Yeah, I think part of it is that, because remember they were going to do it last year, but they didn't want to do it without a full house. But at least now they have a full house, even if he can't actually be there. And I think they just didn't want to put it off anymore. Like, nah. I mean, it just sucks that he can't be there. But I know he'll be on the Jumbotron smiling his butt off or whatever, because he'll be there virtually hanging out. And yeah, it's a proud moment, I think. And it's been kind of emotional seeing all the things. And they re-showed what someone had put out again when the Grizzlies gave him his game jersey.
Yeah, they found it. That's right.
Yeah. And it's just like, oh, man, like, it's just, it's so emotional. I don't know how anybody can be, like, to me, it's a national event. And he's getting the Congressional Medal of Honor, too, that nice. I saw a clip that he's getting that, too, that he's been fighting for. Again, he's a hero of two nations. So on Willie O'Ree night, we're going to talk about the upcoming games coming up. And tonight we are playing the Carolina Hurricanes, who are 25-8-2. And they are 7-2-1 in their last 10. And they're playing really well. They're at the Garden, obviously. They're 13-4-1 on the road, second in the Metro. What do you think about this game? What do you think about tonight? Good chances. This is going to be a tough one again, like playing Washington or Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I mean, these guys have been going back and forth with the New York Rangers for the top of the Metro. You know, there's only 2 points to separate them both. So, and Carolina is a goal scoring team. This is you do not rest up on these guys or let up on these guys. You keep the skate on the throat all 60 minutes with this team because they can be very lethal. And, you know, the 39 goal differential, that's a plus, is amazing, but they also have a pretty decent road record. So Bruins going to have their hands full tonight, but in my opinion, seeing them beat the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Washington Capitals and even Nashville on Saturday, and to have 2 days off, I think this is going to be a decent test. And I think the Bruins are going to be ready. But like I said, this is a team that has an uncanny ability to find weaknesses and just keep going hard at those weaknesses to expose areas where they can just get in close and just snipe it. So going to have to be on par with this one tonight.
Yep. I mean, I think that we can win, but like you said, Carolina, I think a couple years ago when Carolina got hot, everyone was like, you know, the bunch of jerks and all that. But I think Carolina has proved the last few seasons, like, they're legit. And they've moved pieces too, to try and get better piece or whatever. Who was the one that, like, someone compared to Brad Marchand? I don't remember. That was funny. Are you calling me a rat?
Whatever. Oh, is that Trocheck?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know why it's slipping my mind right now. But yeah, this is going to be a tough contest, which is good because that's what I need to see, because it's great that they're playing great the last few weeks. But like, I need them to be like playoff great. And that's how to help them. Go ahead.
Yeah, the last time these two teams played was way back in October, the 28th of last year, and the Hurricanes won 3-0. So,
yes.
And the next game that was supposed to be played was December 21st of last year, but that was postponed. So we'll see that game later on. But two teams that really haven't seen much of each other this season, they're going to do some serious battle tonight.
Yep. And then Thursday on the 20th, we play our opponents from a couple days ago, the Washington Capitals, who probably are not very happy about how they lost. Like I said, I was listening to Locked On Capitals. They used the word annihilated, which they did. But they're fourth currently in the Metro. They're fighting for it. They're 21-9-9. They are 11-4-4. Obviously, we beat them last Monday, as Mark and I just discussed. But, I mean, what do you say? I mean, it's the same cast of characters. It's Washington. You never lay down for Washington. And don't think just because you bitch slapped them 7-3 last week that they can't bitch slap you 7-3 this week. So, yeah, again, I'm more about it's a test. You know what I mean? Like, even though Washington's fourth, just, I mean, if one of their scorers gets on a hot screen, if they start clicking, like I said, the beginning of last week's game was like, oh, fuck, Connor Sherry, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, I know.
Language, but that's really what it, that's, you had a feeling because you know it can go that way, but that's what I want to see. But they responded. So again, it's just a tough contest. I just want to see you play up to playing a team that you know is your caliber or better at times and get it done.
Yeah, and last Monday was the first time that these two teams played in that 7-3 victory for the Bruins. So
happens. They go back and forth. But you're right, though. There was a time where we used to play the Capitals and you knew we were going to lose. You didn't even know. You're like, oh, God. If we won, we'd be like, what? What? It's great.
I was telling the guys on Friday night, I was like, you know, once the Bruins and Capitals games used to come around, I used to give my tickets away. I didn't want to go see them lose.
I probably got some of your tickets. You're like, I don't want to sit in the second row balcony. I'm like, well, pass them on over.
Nah, I'm a Lowe's bit.
You're a snob. You are. I don't care. I like hanging over the ice. But anyways, sorry, not to digress, my friends. Let's get back on topics here. On Saturday, we have a weird 3 o'clock game. Or something like that. It is at 3 o'clock, I believe. But anyways, the Winnipeg Jets are coming to town. I'm glad because last time we went to Canada, all our boys got the panoramic view of Boston for like a couple weeks. And yeah, so Winnipeg Jets, someone from out west. I like to see some, you know, we don't have to really worry about them as we chase them for the playoffs or whatnot. But they're fifth. You never know what you're going to get with them. They're 17-12-5. They're kind of meh. But 7-6-4 on the road. But I don't know. The Winnipeg Jets continue to be an enigma to me. Like, I feel like they should be better than they are. But, and sometimes they really are better than they are. But then sometimes they're just like, man, they're like the Edmonton Oilers. I don't know what to do with you. Like, I want you to be an effective team, but you just continue to stride in the middle here.
And former Boston Bruin Blake Wheeler is back in the lineup for the Jets. Nice. So that would be a little bit of added offense right there. And also going to be in net. It's probably going to be Connor Hellebuck. He's really good. Former UMass Lowell goaltender. Shout out Andrew Taverna. He loves UMass. Loves those college kids. I That road record for the Winnipeg Jets at 7-6-4 really doesn't have me at all worried about that game. And if everything works out, I should be playing pond hockey on Saturday. But if it doesn't work out, we are doing a live stream at 3 p.m. this coming Saturday for the Winnipeg game. Join myself, join Mr. Kevin O'Keefe. Maybe Miss Heather Ingerson can join us this time.
We'll see. I'll see if we kick her
out of the boys club.
Well, I work on Saturday, but we'll see. Maybe I can.
Oh, that's
I've been
right.
working a lot of hours that. The last couple of weeks. Maybe I can get someone to work for me instead. But that being we'll said, see. I don't go to work till 4 anyways. I can jump on for the first hour.
There you go.
No, but I'll try to get out of work. Seriously, that'll be fun.
Well, all depending if all guys. Depending all depending if we're playing pond hockey or not. So
right.
That's still up in the air.
TBA to everybody out there.
Exactly.
All right, so we'll see what's coming up with those upcoming games. Hopefully we keep our streak. I mean, I know you always say you don't like to use a term like scheduled loss, but I certainly think Washington, if they don't keep, you know, pushing forward after this Carolina game, we'll see what happens tonight. Again, a team that can easily beat you. And not that I think that we will lose, but I don't want them to lose. We're looking pretty good right now. And yeah, I don't know, just a totally different team. It's just so weird. It's like talking about a totally different team that I still love very, very much. Yep. All right. Well, I guess we'll move on to one big thing yesterday. So Carson Coleman, who's been around a long, long time, was put on waivers and was picked up by the Seattle Kraken. I just want to say thank you, Carson Coleman. I like you, and I wish you luck out in the West. Sorry it didn't work out here. Again, you were in the clutter of the, like we always say, we have a clutter of a lot of kids that are kind of been clamoring against each other and now are clamoring for their spots on the big team, and you didn't make it through. But good luck, buddy. You're with Ryan Donato. Maybe you guys can have some good times. And
Jeremy Lauzon.
Yeah, and Jeremy Lauzon. So you have – I'm glad he has some people he knows out there. He's not by himself.
Yeah. You know, it was a no-brainer for when the Seattle, you know, obviously the Seattle's not doing good at all. So they have the cat's meow of picks when it comes to the waiver process. And also you got to keep in mind that Jay Leach spent a lot of time with Carson Coleman as he was the coach in Providence not so long ago. So I think it was a lot of intel on that whole thing, but I think it's going to be good for Carson because he's going to get more consistent playing time there. I don't think he's going to be a rotating 13th, 14th player on that roster. He could significantly get some time. And I think that's just looking at the landscape of what we have now, his waiver priority and so on. It was just something that had to be done. And I know it sucks when we have to lose somebody, but we also need to create cap space as well. And this was a move to do that. So, I'd expect something to come in the near future because of this move, but we'll talk about that later.
Well, actually, I would like to now talk about, you've been sniffing around. You've been hearing some things going on. So Carson Coleman was on the team not a few short days ago, but nothing has been said really official or anything. But you've been hearing some things about another member of the Providence Bruins.
Yeah, Zach Senyshyn, who recently asked for a trade shortly after Jake DeBrus did, I'm hearing that there's going to be a deal in place that's going to involve him. Now, whether it be a one-for-one, he goes someplace for a high draft pick, get something before he walks, that's certainly all well and good. Or I'm also hearing that this could be a package deal that he's involved in. So regardless of what's going out, what's coming in, he's going to be involved. And that's what I'm hearing at this point. So I expected to hear something official today, but hopefully it comes out tomorrow so I don't look like a complete ass. But I am really high on this source that reached into my DMs and sent me some information. So you know, I rolled with it, and if it's wrong, it's wrong. You know, it is what it is. Nobody's perfect, but I have a pretty good feeling that something's going to be in the works within the next couple of days. So,
well, you wouldn't really be wrong. You just said that you've heard this might happen, that you expected. Right. You didn't hear any official breaking news, but you're just breaking that there should be some breaking news maybe coming along the pipeline. Yeah.
A lot of folks slide in the old DM and say, hey, this is happening, that's happening. But I pick and choose on what to actually put out on Twitter because that tweet last night at 9:30 gained a lot of traction. And it got a lot of people asking questions and so on. But I'm just going to wait and see what happens sooner or later. Hopefully it happens. I'm going to reach out to my source again. This is a nice person out in St. Louis. And I'm going to reach out to again and see if there's any more dialogue. You know, maybe I can add to it. So, but I don't think Zach is going to be here much longer. And the other caveat to this is this person was telling me that if the trade's made, they don't expect to see Zach in St. Louis, and this is the team that was is rumored that he's going to. This is going to be a trade. Yes, he will be with the organization, but I'm hearing he's going to be asked to report to Springfield of the American Hockey League. So he's going to be seeing the Providence Bruins an awful lot for the remaining games of this 2021-22 AHL schedule.
Well, good news is he doesn't have to go far. I'm just kidding. You know, right. He got an affiliate way over there.
But there's another thing that really surprises me about this move too, which I kind of push back on from this source, was the fact is that Zach Senyshyn has arbitration rights at the end of this year, this contract, and really hasn't proved enough to like really fulfill like, hey, I need this guy in my roster. I need this guy at the NHL level. But I think that what they're doing is that they're taking a serious gamble on what he could do in the AHL for a possible roster spot next season. I mean, they're just rolling the dice right now, but I'm actually really surprised with those arbitrations that they're going to, pursued with a trade like this, but who knows? I mean, anything could happen.
Yeah. All I ask is that at least get the third round pick back for this year or whatever, if they have it, because we don't have our third round pick. We gave it to Calgary. Or whatever. So
I'd gladly take a third round for Zach.
I would like to fill in that gap. And he is at least worth, like you said, if it's a one-to-one trade, if it's anything for less than a third round draft pick, you don't do that. Like, he's got more value than that to somebody. Unless, like you said, potentially it's a bigger package. And of course, everyone jumps to DeBrus this and that. That doesn't mean that the trade is going to necessarily involve Jake DeBrus just because Jake DeBrus wants a trade. He's been playing well. There's not, you know what I mean? There's no like immediate need.
Right.
He would be better to get rid of at the trade deadline as a bigger piece, as part of a bigger package, because he has way more value than Carson Coleman overall to this organization. Right. Also, people, as much as I would love that we are getting Vladimir Tarasenko, they're not giving us Vladimir Tarasenko for Carson Coleman without packaging a lot. We don't have the money, even if we do that, unless we get rid of some big name people. But I don't know. I think it's interesting. We'll see what happens. I'm more interested to see like what will happen. What will we get back? But like I said, I will be pissed if it's not at least a third round draft pick, because if it's a one-to-one, because like you said, his value overall, I mean, we're probably not getting a rostered player for just Coleman. No. Unless you put something else with that, right? We have a lot of defensemen, whatever kind of thing.
Yep.
But I mean, shake it up just enough, right? But it is hard right now because people are playing so well. Like the team is just like, no matter who's in there, like, so the bottom six is kind of like just really consistent, no matter who ends up in there, with people going in and out of protocols, this and that or whatever. Injuries. Oh, Nick Foligno will be back soon too. But you're cluttered up, right? Coleman doesn't have a place except for in Providence on this team now. There's too many people playing well and whatever else. And Senyshyn, he needs to find a home and he doesn't want to be here. So if St. Louis is his home or somewhere else is, I'd rather that happen now than him just not be miserable still being here and not want to be here and not feel like he's getting his chance to prove, because like you said, this might give him a chance to show St. Louis that maybe he's worth getting a look if you need it, you know, if he does indeed go there. So any other thoughts on this though? Are you intrigued? What do you think's happening, big or little? What do you feel like if this is happening?
I really don't know without knowing more pieces. Like, I don't even know who's involved in a play or if it's a package. I know a lot of people have been asking me on Twitter. I was like, what's it all involved? I'm like, I don't know. All I heard is that Senyshyn's on his way out and it could happen soon.
All right. Well, Zach, maybe you'll be gone by the next time we talk, or they'll be talking about it potentially on the live stream this weekend, but we'll wait and see. All right. Let's do a few more before we go to break.
Okay.
So Matt Grzelcyk was out of the lineup. He played Monday, but then I think was out the other three games. Yeah. Mike Riley just got put in protocol, but Grzelcyk's back out of protocol. And Connor Clifton just went back in, got out of protocol. But this all means we now have, This is something we wouldn't have said a month ago. Now it seems we have too many defensemen. Too many defensemen. Because I want to talk about Jaro Vaakanainen. You big, giant. I'll never forget his first training camp and we were sitting there. I was like, this dude is fucking huge. And he is going to be awesome when he's like 25. And Mark, Jaro is being awesome right now. This is the first time that I know he hasn't had a lot of time up actually playing with the NHL Bruins, really. But when he has come up, he's been seemed overwhelmed. Whatever was going on, seems he's finally hitting that groove, which makes sense. He's at that exact age in which defensemen start really becoming good defensemen. I want to hold the phone on the now he has to always be paired with Charlie McAvoy thing. Like, all right, calm down, guy. It was also three games, right? But he is looking awesome. Awesome. Prospect stewed down in the system and slid into the system. And I'm sorry, Connor Clifton, but like, I know you guys aren't, well, Connor, they use either way, but I'm just, we're going to have to pick and choose who we really need to be our sixth defenseman if they're healthy. And now I feel like we have too many options of defensemen. So what do you think? Talk about Jaro, that big giant bastard. He's huge.
Really, really, really playing well. And I don't have Puckpedia up right now, but I think that this is technically his last year of his entry level. He did sign a 3-year deal. This is a good thing to have him involved. He's a left shot defenseman, first round pick back in, I think, 2016 or 17. But it's all with using too much defenseman, you're really desperate, like make a con, he be involved in a package, to another team. I hate to lose him like that because he's doing so good, but you gotta give to get. But I'm really impressed with the way he came up here and really just kind of like, I don't ever want to back down in the AHL. There were times down in the AHL this season I was like, this kid's going to get a call. The year before that, no, I wouldn't have said that. Everybody's like, call back up. I'm like, I wouldn't do that because he's really not playing. He's not playing that type of hockey that screams, we need to get him in the lineup. I think that the only consideration for him two seasons ago was because of injuries. And that's why he was getting a look, a game or two here and there, but it wasn't any consistency like there is now. Now he's involved with the Bruins and really showing him what they have. So you can take two values out of this. One, he's being a really good asset on this team. The other is like with the trade deadline coming around in like 9-10 weeks, you might be able to use that player to get something better on your left side. Because that's an area we do need to address moving forward. And I believe that if we need to make a long playoff run, I'm not saying Stanley Cup, but a long playoff run.
Yeah, I definitely would rather have a bigger name defenseman, but you're right though. But then that makes it interesting is, maybe a team maybe they get riddled with injury. Maybe they're whatever. Once you get near that, you put like DeBrusk in him and a couple things in there. Now you're talking like you have a chance of maybe going out and getting an asset that you can afford. Like once you got DeBrusk salary loop moving and the little bit, you are right. This is Jaro's last year on his ELC.
That's what I thought. Thank you.
And I don't know. I'm happy to see our prospects sometimes like frustrate me, and I know he's older. He's probably not really a prospect anymore. He's had enough time in the AHL.
He's on his last year of his entry level deal. Yeah. That is a prospect.
Okay. Well, either way, I'm just saying.
I don't consider prospects that are outside of the entry level deal that signed an extra year to be a two way. Now you're just a depth player, not a prospect, in my opinion.
Yeah. I know it's kind of a flexible term to use, but they're frustrating. And like, sometimes you're like frustrated. They're not getting enough like time with the big club, to really get their looks, or you're like, oh, they're not panning out, whatever it is. So it's nice to see even like Oscar Steen, even like an Anton Bleed, who's been in the system, like really stepping up and showing what they have. And even though some of them are not going to stay in this lineup, do you know what I mean? As like, rostered players start healthy or whatever. Like Mike Riley is going to be in the lineup when he's not in protocol. Like it's, he's going to be one of them maybe rotating through. But it makes me happy to know that if we can't go out and get another defenseman, we have someone who's looking really solid, at least on the left side. It's looking a lot better defensively since we've been back from break than we did. That can be team defense, but overall just our back end. So I don't feel as scared, I guess, like if, oh God, you know, so-and-so's in whatever, you know, it could be injury, could be I have the flu, I don't know.
Look at the lately, you could tell by the goaltending and defense, because this is a defensive and goaltending stat. But look at the goals for and goals against since the break. It's been ridiculous. This Boston Bruins team has been like transformed into a point producing bombshell. All four lines are contributing in the point, and we're not just relying on one line. But I just think that players like Mike Riley, I'm not saying he's been great, you know, he's not going to get a Norris, but what I'm saying is he's starting to play better. He's not a turnover machine, and you know, and these awful passes, these awful drop passes, and a Mike Riley trying to use his speed defenseman, but I think his feet are so fast that he loses puck often, which creates a turnover going the other way. So I like what he's bringing to the table, but I still think that we still do need another addition.
Well, you know that's been a complaint though since.
I know.
Well, I mean, even if you consider like Torrey Krug being a left shot, yeah, he's not your biggest dude, but you get at least the offense from him. And then obviously Chara was our size guy for so long. And like we've been saying the last few years, it's not about wanting those players back necessarily. It's about wanting back a big ass defenseman like Zdeno Chara that, you know, but can also, you know, handle a puck like a Torrey Krug, you know. And even if we can't go out and get a big, big name defenseman, we should be able to get a good medium, you know, level NHL defenseman. Maybe not your blockbuster superstar, but certainly not the, I mean, calling kids up from Providence kind of situation, you know? So, but that being said, I think like Yarrow is making an actual case. Like, you know how people are saying, is Steen making a case to just stay in the lineup? I feel like Yarrow this week has been making an argument that maybe if the Rileys aren't working out, we don't know, like, we know Zboril, we're not going to see him again, you know what I mean? So, yeah. I don't know, who knows? And if anything, I'm glad to know on the taxi squad, if you need to go to them or call them up from Providence, that they're ready for it. Do you know what I mean? They're not going to feel overwhelmed because we are about to get into some shit hockey where every other day or whatever these boys are playing, injuries are going to happen. Things are going to happen. And you can't gain all the steam that we lost and then end up just because it gets messy, which happens, you know, whatever, lots of injuries, whatever happens. So hopefully that doesn't happen. Okay. So I'm thinking, Mark, this is a good time that we hear from Bruce Sullivan.
Okay. Let's do it. To tune it over to Bruce Sullivan from Boston Music Memorabilia. He's amazing to dress up your fan cave, give somebody a very cool like hand signed jersey as a birthday gift, or tuck one over Christmas in 11 months. So listen to the commercial coming up, Bruce, and write down all the information that you can contact him and. Yeah, check him out because he works very well with everybody. Free shipping on most stuff if it's in the United States. And we love him and we use him for our Patreon giveaways. We are giving away a jersey tonight, folks. Tonight. So we'll see you on the other side. Thank you very much.
Hey, this is Bruce from Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia with our black and gold memorabilia moment of the week. We've still got some great memorabilia from our signing with legendary Bruins Hall of Famer Raymond Bourque.
Yeah. Imagine using that.
Get a Ray Bourque legend jersey, JSA authenticated, hand signed by Ray Bourque, starting at just $139. Or choose one of these Hall of Fame 04 inscribed versions for just $159. Choose a hand-signed JSA-authenticated Ray Bourque photo. 8x10, $59. Or 16x20 with the Hall of Fame inscription, just $99. Or grab this Bruins hand-signed mini in gold. JSA-authenticated and yours for just $119. This Monday, January 17th, we are going to be hosting a table at the Cardboard Promotions Show in Peabody, Massachusetts. Come by the Holiday Inn from 8:30 to 2:30 to get some great deals on Bruins memorabilia, to meet Terry O'Reilly, or just to say hello. On January 30th, we're going to be hosting a private signing with Miracle on Ice star, 1980 Olympic hockey gold medalist Dave Silk. We'll have some great memorabilia, including jerseys, pucks, and photos, or we can accept send-ins as well. For more information on our dozens of Bruins hand-signed pieces, check us out at our Facebook page, Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia, or email us directly at bostonsportsandmusic@gmail.com. And be sure to tune in each week right here to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Let's go!
What's up, Bees fans? We're back. We just heard from the awesome Bruce Sullivan, and please check him out on all avenues, email, Facebook page, Facebook group, and send him a friend request and talk to him, because he'd love to help you spice up that fan cave, because you do need more black and gold in your life. Well, with that being said, we're back talking Boston Bruins topics. Heather, agenda master, let's go.
Grandmaster Agenda, that's going to be my rap name.
There you go.
We're going to talk about why the hell Brad Marchand is not an NHL All-Star. Now, we'll start with that. I understand most people think the All-Star game's stupid, and I too do, but I'm a diehard like weirdo. So I still remember when I was a kid in the All-Star game, the fans voted who their fucking All-Stars were. That's why I wasn't upset when John Scott got voted in or whatever. You know, like, people gave shit, but like, dude, his fans voted for him. Let him be in, you know, like, it bothers me that the hockey establishment decides who their own superstars are instead of letting their fan base decide who the superstars are. I mean, I know you had the last minute vote, but Mark Allred, can you explain to me? I mean, I'm just a girl on a podcast. Okay. I'm not an expert. I am not a high analytical stats person. Corey's and this and that and this and that or whatever. Corsi, I said Corey. Corey's when they check your background to make sure you're safe to like volunteer. But how the hell does the first star of the NHL of the week, what has he got? 10 points, whatever, 6 goals, 4 assists in his last 4 games or whatever. How does this man, who should be a Hart candidate, and I know he's got the big mouth, how is he not at least an NHL All-Star?
How is that possible? I don't get it.
I'm not an expert,
and I'm not analytical inclined, whatever. But I will say that it's a shame. It's somebody call the cops, because he should have been there. And I kind of have a feeling that what he was saying about the Olympics and the league and the Players Association, I kind of think that might have ruffled a few feathers over there. I don't know. I'm kind of a conspiracy theorist on that one, but
you're not a conspiracy theorist. And I'll tell you why. Cause Gary Bettman sucks. He always sucks. Okay. Hates his own league. We've talked about this again. Even if Brad Marchand runs his mouth, right? And he hasn't said anything that tragic, okay? Like, the NHL always overreacts. Like, if an NFL football player goes, like, mouthing off about the league does not make a big giant scene about it and, like, punish the play. Like, they do that shit secretly. You know, like, you don't have to make such a big... You look like a baby. Like, my feelings got hurt through. I'm going to stomp my foot in. Why are the hockey ops people picking the All-Stars? The fans should be picking the All-Stars. That's a fundamental problem. It is an All-Star game. And an All-Star game in any sport should be the fans voting the players they would like to see. Also, I'd like to make a note. The way you do it is stupid. again, I don't want to be back in my day, but back in my day, the fucking East played the West. And you had, so girls like me that were Bruins fans were very excited to fucking destroy the West, okay? Whatever, however they'd have it divided up. But they had the East guys and the West guys played each other. Haven't we been growing a league so we have these giant conferences with plenty of all-stars that the fans should get to vote on? Like, I get narrow it down. You pick six people on each team or whatever, and you put them up for vote. I don't know. But statistically, shouldn't the top 10 forwards in the league statistically get to be all-stars? He should be the fucking captain. I'm just saying.
I believe so.
He should be the captain of both teams. Are they afraid he's going to go like this again?
Yeah.
With his hand?
You make very valid points there, and I share your sentiments exactly, but it's a shame that the top talent in the league is still the best left winger in the league, actually, still can't get a chance to be an all-star. So, and if he, it's kind of funny listening to Chicklet, we've even probably talked about it on live stream or on our roundtable that we did with Montiano, Kevin O'Keefe, and Andrew Taverna, was that even if he was accepted to be an all-star, do you think he would have gone? I don't know. So, but it's good that but it's good that some other player got it, though. So,
yeah. Still, your game sucks. The all-star game is stupid the way you do it now. Make it East versus West, or even when they did North America versus the world, like that was kind of fun. You know what I mean? Like you change it up a little, but still there are clear superstars in your league. And the NHL, they don't have that many of them. They have more than they used to. They used to have a few ponies that really draw, recognizable outside of the hockey world. Like we might know who Connor Sherry is, but unless you're a fan of his team, if he walked down the streets in Los Angeles, nobody would know you are. Everyone knows who Wayne Gretzky is, no matter where he shows up, no matter if you like hockey or not, kind of thing. That's all I mean.
A league that is terrible at marketing dropped the ball on marketing one of the best players in the league. And I think that's kind of a farce.
And good. Brad Marchand is definitely the player. Like there are plenty of players I'm sure you feel this way about. Like, dude, I hate this guy, like he kills us or whatever, like just you don't like their antics, but you're like, they're a fucking superstar. Like I don't have to like them as a human, but if they got traded to my team, suddenly I'd be like, I love this dude so much, he's the greatest person ever. It's Brad Marchand. He gets hat tricks just when he's bored. he gets shorthanded goals because he's bored. He's like, I don't know, like just whatever. Having five players on the ice is an obstacle to him. He likes being down and doing it. I'm sorry. There's not, I know we're like preaching to the choir because the people listening to us also are pissed off probably. And yeah, in the grand scheme of things, does it matter? Am I more pissed off? He's always going to get snubbed for the heart, even when he really fucking deserves it like this year. So you know what I mean? But I just can't. It's stupid. It annoys me because I like that game and you're messing it all up. But that being said, the captain of the Boston Bruins, Patrice Bergeron, St. Patrice, the awesome. He is an NHL All-Star for the Atlantic Division this year. And
he's going to need a new agent too.
Yeah.
Because his agent got the job as the GM of the Montreal Canadiens.
That was talk
that. Yeah, he's going to be actively looking for a new agent. And Jimmy Murphy wrote an article about what could happen if Patrice retires, which I don't ever want to hear again. But would his agent would his agent persuade him to go to Montreal?
No. First Tough of all, lot. He was raised a Nordiques fan, not a Montreal Canadiens fan, okay?
Right.
That's like, being a Bruin is the best, closest thing he could get to that initial probably rivalry that he had seeing growing up with the Nordiques in Montreal for the love of Quebec. No, I actually was thinking maybe he won't get an agent. Bergeron's been in this league for almost two decades. He can't argue his last contract to Don Sweeney. I mean, not saying you're not going to have a lawyer to look through the paperwork or whatever. But does Patrice Bergeron at this point even need an agent?
Probably not. I don't know.
Just saying.
Probably like, not.
That's funny how you said you never want to hear that again. That's how I feel about sometimes when I think about things. I'm like, I know it's going to happen because, frankly, he can't play forever. But what if he did play forever? What would it be awesome if Bergeron just always was a center on the Boston Bruins? But it can't happen, my friend. That's all right. We'll have to move past that. We'll have to be strong. But for now, he's still our Bergeron, and we'll keep him forever. And no, he will never be a Montreal Canadian, because if he does, I'm going to need to check in with someone.
100 North, Anna Jakes.
It's been a long couple years for me and my weird attachment syndrome. But Bergeron is like, that's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. Like in a proud, but like, this is sad. But like, you get it. Like, you know, when you're having that, this is just sports moments. And you're like, it's just sports, man. It's just a hockey game. It's just a hockey player. And you're getting all choked up. But you can't help it. You know what I mean? Like I said, I mean, I started getting choked up even seeing Willie O'Ree get his jersey. I don't know what I'm going to do when Bergeron's number goes in the rafters. I can't. I want to cry thinking about it. So, all right, we're moving on. I would like you, if you would, please, sir. We don't have many topics you guys didn't really cover. We've gone through them, kind of what you guys didn't do this weekend. So if you could give us an update on Providence, though, I would love that. Will you give us a little Providence check-in?
Yeah, I haven't had much time to do anything on the Providence Hockey Report with myself. So I need more time in a day. I really want to get this podcast up and running and do it weekly, but it's just a pain in the ass. But what else is, until in the meantime, I'll just give you guys a quick update about what's going on. So the Providence Bruins have played 29 games and they have 43 games remaining. Currently they are 16-9-3-1 with 36 points. Remember that number, Heather, 36 points. They're on a three-game winning streak, which all three of them came this weekend. Awesome weekend. They're 7-3-0 in their last 10 games. They're first place in the Atlantic Division. Remember this number, 0.621 winning percentage. Now, those numbers that I just said to you, Heather, very weird. And I don't necessarily agree with the way the AHL does this, but the Providence Bruins are in first place in the Atlantic Division, 16-9-3-1. The second place team is the Springfield Thunderbirds. They have 40 points, and they have a 6.06 winning percentage. And the third place team is the Hershey Bears with 41 points, and they have a 6.03 percentage. So the Providence Bruins are in first place by virtue of the higher percentage, not the record. Because second place Springfield has an 18-11-3-1 record, and third place Hershey has an 18-11-3-2 record. So they'd be higher, but it's that winning percentage that gets them to first place. And potentially, if they stay there, that's three straight Atlantic Division titles. That's amazing.
Nice.
But the Providence Bruins are a team that normally wake up around this time. Turn of the year is when it seems like Providence gets healthy. There's not so much up and down shell that, you know, which is down there can start to create a little bit of creativity with their lines and get some chemistry and so on. But things are starting to play better. And obviously, we've got Jeremy Swayman that's down there right now. Troy Grosnick. The goaltending is not the problem, along with Kyle Kaiser. Not the problem at all. But things are looking good. Right now, Stephen Foti, in his last 10 games, has 3 goals, 7 assists, 10 points. He's on a 2-game point streak. Jesper Froden, his last 10 games, has 3 goals, 5 assists, 8 points. Zach Senyshyn, in his last 12 games, has 7 goals, 6 assists, 13 points. He's on a 4-game point streak. Cameron Hughes, in his last 15 games, has 7 goals, 9 assists, 16 points. Samuel Asselin, who had a hat trick yesterday, which is amazing. Sunday. He has 5 goals, 8 assists, 13 points in his last 15 games, and he's on a 5-game point streak. Jack Studnicka, he has 5 goals, 11 assists, 16 points in his last 20 games. He's on a 5-game point streak. And Matt Philippe, Eastern University's Matt Philippe, the last 5 games, he's He's got 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points, and he's on a 3-game point streak. Jeremy Swayman recently sent down due to the addition of Tuukka Rask at the NHL Boston Bruins level. Is 2-0-0 with a 2.01 goals against average and a .911 save percentage. Troy Grossman is by far really doing well as a veteran signing, a free agent signing over the offseason. He's 7-2-1 with a 2.2 goals against average and .919 save percentage. And Kyle Kaiser, who's doing good, but his numbers don't show it very well. I've really got to, you know, watch these games on AHL TV instead of just attacking his stats. But he's 4-6-3 with a 2.65 goals against average and a .905 save percentage. The next games for the Providence Bruins come this Friday, January 21st at 7:05 at the Dunk in downtown Providence on LaSalle Street against the visiting Bridgeport Islanders. And the next game after that is Saturday, January 22nd at 7 p.m. on the road in Bridgeport at the Western Bank Arena to play those same Islanders. And that is it for the week for them. Only 2 this weekend, which I was disappointed, but still, it's all right because they're doing good in their first place. So that is basically your Providence Bruins rundown.
Well, thank you very much. I know I saw Asleen's hat trick highlights. That was beautiful. Good for him.
You see that swirl? Woo-hoo! It was awesome.
And we still have to get down there because I still haven't got to go down with you to Providence when you go yet. So maybe we can
I'm planning a trip next weekend. So I mean, well, next month.
I would say month is better. Let me know because, you know, I got to work things out. I also have hockey games I got to get people to. So
exactly.
In there. Dude, he'd be so proud, Eric, if you could see him out there. He's a damn beast on that blue line. I mean, metaphorically, because it's cross-ice hockey and there's no blue line. But yeah, so thank you, Providence Update. We'd like to mention right now that Zdeno Chara, former captain of the Boston Bruins, might have heard of him before. Passed Scott Stevens on the all-time games list yesterday, right? Martin Luther King Day on Monday. He's now 10th on the list. He has 1,636 games. He needs 3 more to pass Dave Andrechuk and 15 to pass former teammate Mark Recchi, who, of course, played with Captain Zdeno on the 2011 Stanley Cup run on Recchi's last year. Another guy I get a little tear for when he retired because he was awesome. Mark of our, childhood. Yeah, that's it. I just wanted to mention that. Captain Zdeno, you're a friggin' beast. And Mark, you were saying that he might even be able to pass Chelios if he can play all the games this season.
Yeah, that's what I heard on if it was Spittin' Chicklets today or possibly another. Maybe the DL rundown with Jason Gregor Frank Scali. Chris Chelios has like 1,600 and something. He said one of those podcasts that if Chara plays the rest of this season, he could definitely pass Chelios for the defenseman with the longest games played. Most games, sorry, fumble.
Yeah, that's a pretty big feat. Like, those are the kind of things when you're like, I never think this record's going to get beat, and then you get to see it get beat potentially. It's always very exciting. So Zdeno Chara, obviously not the steamroller he used to be, but still chugging. Like, he's like, especially in our area, everyone always wants to talk about Tom Brady, but Chara's a beast too. Like, he's like got a body of like a 22-year-old, even though he just keeps moving, you know. And there are athletes his age that don't look anything like he is, even if he's not how we remember him. So congratulations, Captain. We of course will be looking in. Well, Scott Stevens, I still don't love you any less just because now Chara passed you. So there you go. The NHL and Elliot Friedman had, well, at least I saw that, and then you sent it to me too, but I had seen it. Elliot Friedman has mentioned that the NHL and the NHLPA have reached a new testing agreement to probably be implemented after the All-Star game on the 5th of February. I couldn't remember All-Star Weekend for a second. Sorry about that. Any comments on that? What do you think about making asymptomatic players not have to test?
this is a huge move forward for the league and each of its teams that are struggling with keeping players on the lineup because they happen to be positive, but they're not feeling, you know, sick or down or anything like that. He's a well-tuned athlete. I think try to page out what basketball are doing to keep their season. And so this is the best case scenario because the NHL is really nervous about creating too much teams further into the year. They don't want to see that happen, and they're running out of time. So this was, I believe, an appropriate moment to get this type of involvement. And you know, let's just, you know, if you're sick and you're not feeling good, you know, we hope you get better, obviously. But if you're not, you just shouldn't be automatically taken out of the lineup and taxi squad members being used, you know, because there's a lot of people that say, you know, I'm all for 2 points. I don't freaking care who's in the lineup. But there's a lot of people saying that, well, you did beat up an AHL team. And do take that as fact and so on. But since you want to put out your best competitive lineup that you can, and this is certainly a way that can help that, and we'll get these games regular season. They want to do 82, so this is just a great step forward.
Yeah, so it's going to be asymptomatic players don't have to test, only if you're showing symptoms, and obviously cross-border and symptomatic things. They're saying after the All-Star break. I don't know, I don't think they should have to be held in protocol until they're negative. I think right. If you test positive, especially if it's a game day, it'd be a good decision to sit you out just to get a look to make sure you don't have the fever. You can be asymptomatic, but still spread things. But I agree with you that we don't need to be as rigid, especially if everyone truly is vaccinated except for Tyler Bertuzzi, and he had it, so he has at least some natural, you know, immunity, this and that to it too. And people have been exposed to it. The teams have had it go through them. Because it is very, very rigid. But you also maybe, like I said, if it's game day and someone tests positive that morning, whether they're asymptomatic or not, maybe just not let them play that game. But like you said, not make it so they can't for 5 days or 15 right. tests or whatever the hell the rules are. I know it's not that dramatic, but yeah, so it is a good way. I mean, they're determined to get the 82 games in. Do you think there's at any point something might happen that would force them to have to be realistic? And I'm not saying a 56-game season like last year, they had to put it off and start real late. But is it really going to be a tragedy if when every team hits the 72 game mark, you also don't want athletes dropping just from injury, being worn out. What kind of playoffs will that be if you have to go back to basically playing the AHL rosters on the NHL level too? You know, I mean, I'm thinking like, okay, if we can at least get to 72 without everyone dying, basically, not to like be so dramatic, but like, you know, like injuries, like ribs, this, that, no, like, you don't want them out there either just being slow and tired and hurt either. Like, that's not good for them long term, and it's not good for your product. That's all I mean by that, you know? But I think it's good. It's good moving forward. I'm glad that the NHL and the Players Association, which don't always play nicely, really have been sticking together on making the most logical decisions. It's not just in the hands. I think, I don't know if it's that way in all the other sports, that the union also really has as much input as, say, the NHL's players do into policies in these kind of circumstances. But we'll see. Let's get it done, okay? What else did I have? Sorry to you had brought this up. You know, we had the 2 weeks off during Christmas time or whatever. Do you think that, and you had said, you know, should that happen every year going forward? I vote yes. I think that a lot of teams, regardless of the protocols and whatever was happening before the break, I think instead of having weird bye weeks they should just do 2 weeks right exactly. before Christmas to right after New Year's and start back up again with the New Year's Day game. That's just me. Go ahead.
Well, listen, I mean, this whole pandemic thing kind of put this into perspective. We postponed six games at the end of December last year basically 2 weeks without Boston Bruins hockey. That was just something that, you know, we can look at that from, don't even think about the pandemic, but just think how players, not just Boston Bruins players, but how players would respond to this being done every year. Week right in the middle, you can get your hockey time by going and watching the World Juniors because it's still in that window, maybe a little further outside of it. But I just look at how this Boston Bruins team responds. And I was really afraid of, oh, we have 2 weeks off and we're coming in and we're basically playing every other day. Well, I like what I'm seeing right now. And I think the league could benefit and players could benefit from something like this being on a regular. Decompress in the middle of the year. Be with your family for the holidays. Travel. Take a break. Just get away from hockey. Do whatever you got to do. But when you come, just seems like guys, and we, you know, they're just like fully on board with what's going on now, and they don't seem to have air in the world, and you know, it's back to work. And I don't know. I kind of want to see this happen more often, and I think players would really enjoy it.
I agree with you. I think that it's good. First of all, I think a bye week in hockey is stupid. Like in football, it makes sense, right? Because everybody's playing, you know, you get one bye week, but you're only playing 16 games or 17 games, rather 18 games, whatever it is, or however long your team plays. So having 1 week off doesn't throw all of your warm up, all of your this off, because you still might practice on that week, this and that, but it's not like a week and a half of practicing time. You right. know, that's not necessarily. I think it's perfect to just do the 2 week shutdown because everybody will be on level playing field, whatever happened before break and whatever happens after break. In essence, when they come in for training camp, you're going September. That's 4 months to about Christmas break, right? Or holiday break or whatever. And then after, you got about, in a normal year, you'll have about 4 months to that first week of April into the second week where the season ends in a normal year, right? April 9th or April 6th or whatever is normally the end. And then you start playoffs. It's perfect. You get your 8 month season in, but by the time your playoffs start, everybody is going to be still on the even ground. Also, everyone knows it takes the first 2 months of the season for everyone to really get in their groove. Then you have, even in a normal year, you have stupid scheduling that happens where one team might not play for 6 days and then they play 4 games in 7 days. Like, I don't know why. It doesn't seem like it should be this hard. Maybe we could play more than 2 games on a Friday night or something. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. NHL, just consider it. Or on Saturday, do an all-day marathon day of games. That's cool. But I agree with you. I think it would probably help scheduling too, right? Like you can see where it is and then have to go with it. But yeah, it just seems to me like it's annoying with all the regular weeks. And yeah, this year there's a particular amount of shutdowns because I thought they were maybe going to the Olympics. Shout out David Krejci, made the Czech Olympic team. I wish Pasta was with you. but yeah, okay. So that's that. I just wanted to mention one more thing before we, a couple things before we start wrapping up. First of all, sorry, not sorry. How funny was it when Torrey Krug knocked down that leaf and just started punching him in the face?
That was like, funny.
Like, what I, like people were like, whatever, captioning it or whatever. But the funniest thing was when suddenly you talk shit and you get hit because you're like, blah, blah. How not to chirp the opposing team's bench? Brought to you by the St. Louis Blues and Torrey Krug. Like, just that was funny. You know, I love Torrey, but that was really, really funny. But on a serious note, I'm very excited because the Premier Hockey Federation's Board of Governors has pledged, and you know, they are going to give $25 million in direct payments to their players over the next 5 years. This is their vision plan. That's going to include things like maternity leave and them being equity shareholders and just they're raising the, what is it called, salary cap to $750,000. I don't know. It's just very exciting, very exciting. They're talking two teams, one in Montreal, also expansion teams, one in Montreal, one in the States. I don't know. Mark, go ahead.
No, this is a good positive step forward for everybody involved, especially these ladies that put it all out on the regular. Like they're doing 40-hour week jobs and traveling on the weekends to play these games. Their parents, you know, and like I said, they already have jobs and so on. So it's this will like relieve a lot of the stuff. This is just great steps moving forward, because ultimately what I would like to see is I would like to see each NHL team like sponsor a women's team.
Teaching kids all week and then traveling all weekend to do their thing. Yeah, they're going to update facilities, because I mean the Pride are lucky in that they get to share like kind of a newer facility. With the Bruins just got their facility not that long ago, but not all the clubs have that. But yeah, that's very exciting, huge for them. Expansion, they're already talking. I like that they have a plan. They seem to have a vision and a plan. They're sticking with it. They're not doing what sometimes business models do when they try to grow too fast. You got to kind of grow with your company. You got to see the future while living in the present. And I do think that they do that really well on the Premier Hockey Federation. And everyone's in. Like, their whole league is bought in on what's going on too. You know? So good for the players of the Professional Hockey Federation. And I'd like to also just mention real quick, their All-Star Showcase is coming up the 26th, I think, 29th. It's going to be in Buffalo and Northtown in Buffalo. But the Pride have 9 All-Stars, 9, including our captain is the captain, you know, of the squad they'll be representing. Yeah, so the NHL All-Star Game is going to be coming up. That's on February 5th. That's all I've got. I would like to just remind everyone before we start wrapping up, Mark, unless you can think of anything else.
No, I just wanted to talk about one more time about the Boston Bruins alumni game at the Essex Sports Center. That's 15 Manning Road, Middleton, Mass. It's on Saturday, February 12, 2022. It's from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. And it is a game that the Bruins alumni will play against the Essex County Correctional Officers Association. And all proceeds go to Cadence Crusaders, which is an organization spreading awareness for pediatric cancer. So please get involved.
Yes, please do. Sorry, I don't know. I seem to have dry throat. Good thing we're starting to wrap this bad boy up, because it's what day is it? Willie O'Ree Day. We're about to go watch his banner go up into the rafters. Before we do, I'd like to, as always, ask you to please rate, review, subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast for our program, not just our program, but everyone on the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast Network. Us, Dump and Change, The Beehive, Holtz on Hockey, Causeway King, Short Shift, Third Line Grinders, Lindroth Hockey Podcast, Mark when he can get to his Providence, but we'll always try to get him at least to get a little update for us on this show. The Providence Hockey Report at AHL Bruins Report. Tour, right?
Yeah.
Did I say it wrong? That's it. Thank you very much. Like I said, please, 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 please rate and review the show, especially on Apple Podcasts if you can. And that way I can see it. I'll read them out loud, which I used to love to do. It's been a little bit, I'm not trying to say. And this is random, but I hate uneven numbers, and I have 691 Twitter followers. So if maybe 9 more of you could join following me on Twitter so I can have a cool 700, that would be great. I know that's not a lot of Twitter followers. It's more I just don't like odd numbers kind of thing. Thanks, all Mark. Right. You want to do Patreon? Yeah, you're like, you're going off the rails, Zynga. I got to focus you. Yeah. Patreon.
Yeah. All right. Patreon. We do have a Patreon account. It's $1 per episode. If you'd like to support us, we truly appreciate it. And if you do want to be eligible for this program, you're eligible for weekly Boston Bruins related prizes and hand signed jerseys every month. This week is weekly prize is going to Krista P. She's won in the last 6 weeks. Lucky girl. So I'm going to get her 2 gifts out as soon as possible. And the jersey, it is January. So we did promise that it was going to be the Terry O'Reilly jersey, hand-signed, fully authenticated. This is from Boston's Music. You know, as Bruce Sullivan in our mid-show program, commercial, whatever. But he has all this stuff. And so this is just a buck, guys. And this jersey is now going to belong to Mr. Cody Stevens. Congratulations, yes. Cody. Yeah, awesome. Love. And next month, I already have set. It's going to be the Don Mark month. So February, the middle of February, some month, is going to be this one we're going to give away. very nicely stitched. It's all it's really great quality stuff here. So from Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia, I think Bruce Sullivan. So we would certainly appreciate the financial support. And financially support, you do appreciate retweets and shares, likes. Talk to us. We're good Bruins folks. Reach out and have a conversation with us on the tweet machine or the Facebook or whatever you use. But that's it. So I got to edit this thing. This game, so Willie O'Ree night. The Carolina Hurricanes are in town, and the Bostons are a wagon. So I want to get this done in this game. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in, sharing all the stuff you guys do. You're all amazing. We truly appreciate it. And thank you very much, Ella, for ruining the group here. And, it's been a couple of weeks, so I'm going to get out of here.
Let's go watch Willie O'Ree go to the rafters, baby.
Exactly. That being said, we're out. Mark Oliver, that's Heather Ingerson. Peace out.
Thanks again for listening to and supporting the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Please share the show with your friends and family, and don't forget to subscribe to and leave a 5-star rating for the show on your favorite podcast platforms such as Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Between shows, help us keep the Bruins talk going by visiting our website, blackandgoldhockey.com, by sending an email to blackandgoldhockeyblog@gmail.com, and by following the show on Twitter @blackandgoldpod.
Peace out.